DW Africa Link.
Africa has a busy election calendar in 2024. Presidential or general elections are taking place in at least 19 countries. Two-thirds of these elections are packed into last quarter of the year. Roughly, half of the elections are unlikely to be competitive because of heavy-handed management of the electoral process by well-entrenched incumbents. These highly controlled electoral settings pose challenges for the citizens to have their voices heard as part of the continent's aspiration for more responsive, public service-oriented, and democratic governance. Today's focus will be on Uganda, that has been ruled by President Yoweri Museveni since 1986. My name is Josie Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Uganda is considering denying citizens the chance to vote for their president, with plans to have lawmakers elect the president instead. For decades, Ugandans have elected their president through universal suffrage, which gives all adult citizens the right to vote. However, there are discussions within Uganda's ruling National Resistance Movement, NRM party, about proposing a bill to amend the country's constitution and adopt a parliamentary system of government. If such an amendment is passed, Ugandans would no longer vote directly for their president. Instead, the party with majority of lawmakers in the over 500-seat parliament would elect the head of state. The million-dollar question is, who exactly is behind this ploy, and what effects will it have on Uganda's international standing? Joining me for this discussion is DW correspondent in Kampala, Frank Yiga, and Adolf Mbeina, a political scientist at Makerere University. Frank, I will start with you, as you have been covering this story. How likely is it that this move will be pushed through?
Out of 10, I give it 8 or 9. Or 9.5, chances are high it's going to go through, because it's not the first time we're seeing something similar to this. And besides that, comes to democracy, you know, majority takes it all. So NRM MPs are the majority in parliament. That means if it passes, they will definitely have to pass it. It's not the first time we're seeing this. It happened before many times, so it won't be a surprise. So yeah, I think Ugandans are already waiting for that to kick off.
Okay. Now, Mr. Mbeine, you are a political scientist. If it goes through, how will such a change influence elections and to a larger extent the pursuit of democracy in Uganda?
If this happens and it is passed, it wouldn't be surprising, because one, as you may all know, the president met the 80 years this year.
Oh.
And he's nailed on to be the presidential candidate for his ruling party in the 2026 elections. And at 80 years, I think it is increasingly difficult for him to go around looking for votes, traversing the country, and getting involved in the energy-sapping activities that are not associated with presidential campaigns. And so it is understandable from that point of view that since he has control over parliament, members of parliament would go for their own elections and return to parliament just to elect him to become president. So that wouldn't be surprising, but it would also not be surprising, because whatever the president has wished to do with this constitution, he has done it. And there have been significant developments around our constitution since 1995, because as soon as the constitution was promulgated, it had limited the number of ministers or members of cabinet to just about 42. So the first amendment in the immediate aftermath of the promulgation of the constitution was to increase the cabinet ministers from 42 to nearly twice as many. And a lot of people at that time thought that this was misguided. The constitution had not even been tested. And so there was worry about what was going to come next. and so on. And since then, a raft of constitutional amendments have been occasioned against this constitution, so much so that nobody really still thinks that it is the constitution that was passed in 1995, because it seems to have lost its soul and spirit. But the two most significant amendments to the constitution, of course, were 2005 amendment, which removed presidential term limits and therefore enabled Seven to run again in 2006 and continue his presidential tenure. And then lately in 2017, there was also the possibility that he wouldn't contest under the same constitution in 2021, because the constitution then capped the age of presidential candidates to 75. And by 2021, Mr. Seven would have been more than 75, so he would have been ineligible to stand as president. So in 2017, there was an amendment to the constitution in the glare of fights in parliament and quite a bit of confusion that then removed the age limit to presidential candidates and left it open for him to run until he probably physically can't run anymore.
Oh.
So for me, sitting where I am, I do not think that anything would stand in the way of amending the constitution to the benefit of the president. People fairly close to him if they want them to do so. There is no democracy here. There is no democracy here. Democracy presupposes that people have a free choice, they have freedoms of expression, association, and assembly, you have to regular free and fair elections, not simply regular elections, but free and fair elections, that you have institutions of state that guarantee democratic participation and push against arbitrariness and even authoritarianism. Yes, but as you know, in Uganda, people are not, the freedoms of association and assembly have largely diminished. If you have followed opposition politics, sometimes opposition activists can't even hold a meeting. If you followed recent events when young people raised placards and tried to go to parliament to protest alleged corruption around the Speaker of Parliament and some other people and some other government officials, they were beaten up, bundled onto pickups, taken to courts and remanded into prison on colonial old laws, and so on. They spent about 2 weeks there before the courts were then kind of, able to grant them pay. Yeah, so when we talk about these situations, I don't see how really liberal democracy comes in. Yes, we hold elections every 5 years, and that is commendable. But what type of elections do we have? Have we ever looked at our electoral commission? The electoral commission is appointed solely by one of the candidates in the races. The military is ever present in the elections. The police is partisan. The security services are the same. That is the kind of environment. So even if they amended the constitution, I don't think it changes or worsens the situation that there is today. Mr. Museveni will remain president. There will be elections which will be violent and involve several malpractices, and life will go on. So I don't completely understand how this would affect the situation that we have at the moment.
Frank, you are on ground covering this story, and you heard from Adolf here. He's given his own opinion, and he's also given his own speculations that probably the reason why this is happening is because the president is now 80 and he has no energy to go around campaigning and all. But what reason are these people behind this whole change giving to the Ugandans?
Now, this proposal of having members of parliament elect or vote the president and letting the public vote directly is not only a short-term plan, it is a long-term plan. Because now the president is 8 years, So look ahead and then see him 85 years after the end of the coming term, or even above 80 years. So what happens after? That means the members of parliament will still vote for a candidate of their choice. So you can see that the system is continuous. The legacy has to go on and on. So they are planning not only for President Museveni, but his legacy to continue and have the party dominate, politics, wealth, and whatever it is above all other Ugandans. The people are clearly seeing this. It is in black and white. The writing is on the wall. Their plan, it is the same template they used back then in 2005 when they removed term limits. It is the same template they used in 2017, the age limit. It is the same template now they're using again to let the members of parliament, vote the president. Not only him, even someone of his choice or his legacy ahead.
So, yeah, but how are people reacting? What are Ugandans saying? You're also a Ugandan. How do you feel about this? How popular is Museveni at the moment?
President Museveni is popular, fine. But at the same time, if you look at the other side of the coin, he has lost it all. He's not, people make fun of him, that the old Museveni of back then, if he met the current Museveni, they would definitely battle and kill each other. The old would kill the current one because of what is going amiss. Definitely, Ugandans are not happy about this, and they are totally in disagreement with what is happening, because just like the analysts see it, that's a representation of a common person. They also see, people are not fools. They see things, but they just can't express it. When they express it through the so-called democracy, things are overturned around and their voices are denied. So generally, they are not happy about it, but they cannot do anything about it at the same time.
Now, back to you, Adolf. Legally speaking, what needs to happen for Uganda to start picking their president in parliament and not the ballot box?
Well, I think they are going to amend. If that happens, as I told you right at the start, the last time I checked on parliamentary business order paper, that particular amendment was not among the amendments that had been listed for consideration by parliament initially. But in the game of politics, since this is likely to be controversial, maybe it is going to be delayed until such a time when it can come through without giving people a lot of time to debate it and think about it. But at this point, we are all speculating. We are all happy that it will be among the amendments, the proposed amendments to the Constitution. But to the best of my recollection, I haven't seen it as part of the proposed amendments that have so far been submitted to Parliament yet, but it would come. But anyway, as I told you earlier, if issues Tom Seven is interested in having this passed, it will be passed. Because the current structure of Parliament is such that what the president needs to be done to the Constitution will be done. There will be a few dissenting voices from what the opposition, a few members of opposition in Parliament, but by and large, a majority of members of Parliament who are part of the ruling party will pass this without even any discussion. And as you know, in Parliament, laws and similar legislation are passed by just a majority. So there is no way this is not going to pass. And remember that on both occasions that the term limits were abolished from the Constitution in 2005, and the age limit was also similar, expired from the Constitution in 2017. There were even financial inducements to members of Parliament. And that has continued to be the pattern to members of Parliament voting on controversial issues, especially around the Constitution. So The point I'm really trying to make is that this amendment, if it happens, Parliament will pass, And that is the way it will work. I don't think that citizens of Uganda have eaten their power to stop this puppet, because the military will be very closely patrolling parliament in any case, so, and the city, so nobody will disturb
Adolf, you are a political scientist, and I mean, this has been going for years. Museveni is 80 now. One would assume maybe you Ugandans are happy with him being in power, because obviously, is it the norm that people should just accept everything that happens?
Yes, my friend, when you are powerless in the face of happenings, you'll probably accept what is going on without a lot of fuss, because, I mean, Mr. Museveni's fan base is in the military. So The military patrols what goes on. If you looked at its command now, you would understand exactly what I'm talking about. It is very clear to me that if this amendment comes to Parliament, it will be passed, because if Parliament conducts business in a certain way, I understand the Parliament's always so in this regard, so I can't even blame them, because the Parliament is also not, has no power basically to do or undo a lot of things.
Now, Frank, what is the opposition doing or saying about this?
The opposition is left with nothing but to keep voicing. That is all they are left with. I mean, what more can they do than that? It is to keep, you know, sensitizing the public, telling them about the wrongs doing. But it's not enough. That's what they'll keep at. Life has to go on. This is a military state. The president appoints the judiciary. The president is in charge of the legislature. The president is in charge of, I mean, almost all government institutions. So what do you say about that? Nothing. The opposition has to watch the space. They have to play their role, talking. That is lip service. But more than that, less than that, we should expect more.
Now, Adolf, just for us to wrap up the podcast, you mentioned that President Museveni is 80 years old. Is there any signs of him grooming someone to succeed, to take over the throne?
Personally, I really feel a very deep sense of frustration that we are a country which has never seen a peaceful transfer of power since independence in 1962. And up to now, there is no roadmap towards that. Because when you look at their ruling NRM party, there is no structure or process of the political transition from some seven to somebody else. What we see and hear is that there is somebody in the military closely associated with the president who wants to be president after him. And I have, in my mind, I think that amounts really to a military transition. So I think that is maybe in the fullness of time, we see the politics side of it come into being, and maybe there will be a political party arrangement in terms of a transition. We are waiting to see if that happens. But for now, I think there is nobody, even 100 kilometers close from Mr. Museveni to another politician in the ruling party. I don't see even one at all.
Maybe yourself very soon, or Frank Higa here, any of you could become the next president, who knows. But thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us today here on Africa.
Yes, sometimes the dreams and the miracles come true, but I think this is white off the mark in the current circumstances. But anyway, next week and see, but what I am sure about now that Mr. Museveni will be on the ballot 2026. After that, then we shall see what happens. But we have been given guarantees that in 2026, Mr. Museveni will be on the ballot. And I think he will be a winner even before the first ballot is cast.
Many thanks to our correspondent in Kampala, Frank Higa, and Adolf Mbeine, a political scientist at Makerere University. At the Africa Link podcast, we always look across the continent to see how the stories and issues we are dealing with play out or at times even overlap. To get a better understanding of how Africa is faring on its pursuit of democracy, I've been speaking to Talia Gerseso, a lecturer and expert on politics and international relations at the University of York. Now, speaking of the African continent, how would you describe the state of democracy in Africa in general?
Well, I'm an optimist. So I know that there was a lot of conversation in the past years about, you know, democratic backsliding also hitting the African continent. But I think it's more nuanced than that. We see good things. We, for example, what happened in Senegal, where the Senegalese people fought back and you know, managed to have a new president and to have elections. And we have cases where actually it's mixed. I don't think it's, you know, we should be overly pessimistic and saying that we're seeing democratic backsliding across the continent. I think we're just seeing variation between African countries.
Yeah. Africa has a lot of elections coming up, or some have happened already this year. I think it's the busiest year for Africa when it comes to elections. How would you describe the year 2024 in Africa when it comes to elections?
So we're seeing, you know, a lot of interesting trends. But the first, and I think, you know, something that we should celebrate is that elections are taking place this year, and no one is really questioning that elections should happen, even when incumbents like Macky Sall in Senegal try to postpone an election. There was still, you know, the assumption that the election will take place at some point. So it's a good thing that, you know, we have election and leader thinks that, you know, elections should take place at regular intervals. That's a big victory. That being said, we're seeing, you know, some kind of electoral manipulations prior of the electoral period to try to manipulate the rules of the game in favor of incumbents, which is not, you know, a good news for democracy. In some cases, we're seeing that those tactics are working. In others, they're not. And so I think we are having this kind of mixed bag situation right now on the continent.
Yeah. Now we are hearing about Uganda seeking to change its constitution to deny citizens the right to directly vote for their president. Critics say that could allow President Museveni to stay longer in power. Talia, what's your take on that?
I completely agree with the critics. First, I find it very interesting because when you study African systems across all countries in sub-Saharan Africa since independence, most regimes were parliamentary systems at independence, but they all shifted. I mean, a lot of countries shifted to a more presidential kind of form of governance. And so seeing a country like Uganda going back is suspicious. It's suspicious because Uganda is not a democracy. And so in this particular non-democratic setting, I think that reverting back to parliamentarism will be detrimental to democracy. And the reason is very simple. Museveni completely controls the parliament, and the parliament is weak. And so for me, that's just a very easy way to make sure that he will be reelected in the future, and that actually, you know, elections will be less and less contentious. He will not have to deal with opposition members. And so this is just, you know, a way to disenfranchise the Ugandan people, in my opinion.
Yeah, but Talia, is there anything wrong with Uganda giving lawmakers right to pick the president? I'm based in Germany, and Germany also has a system in which the parliament is the one that chooses the chancellor.
Absolutely. No, there is nothing wrong with parliamentarism, you know, in itself. In fact, actually, political science research shows that parliamentary system tends to be more democratic than presidential system. And, you know, you could also ask me about presidential system, you know, in the African context, not being a great thing either, because they exacerbate the power of the executive branch. But in the case of Uganda, this is a bad news because we technically use presidential system to, you know, in some contexts where you have, for example, a lot of ethnic factionalization, or it has specific purposes. But in this context, and I think with all kind of institutional, electoral or constitutional reform, we need to look at the intent of the people who are implementing it. And then based on the track record of the Museveni's government, I'm pretty sure that I can confidently say that this is not to improve the state of democracy based on everything that has happened in the last 30 years.
That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a part of our community. Your feedback and participation makes this podcast what it is. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. Click follow so you can catch all of the Africa Link episodes. This podcast was co-produced and edited by Crispin Mwakideu. My name is Josie Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until next time, it's bye for now.
DW, made for minds.